One of the things that's amazing about Pasco Christian, if you're new to us or not new to us, you can affirm this, is the investment that the people in the body here at Pasco Christian have in reaching out to people that do not know who Jesus is. And a real big part of the heartbeat at Pasco Christian has to do with the missional influence. The mission of our church is to love God, love people, right? And part of that influence is once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you start to be connected in the community of faith, it makes you start to connect with people and contribute in an important way. And one of the ways it is people go on missions projects. They go on missions trips. And this last summer, a couple weeks back, actually, sounds funny to say last summer because the summer just ended a couple days ago, right? A couple of the Mars boys, young men, went to Africa. And come up here, gentlemen. And every time we have people that go and do different things, went to Mexico, went to Haiti, a variety of different things, we want them to come back and kind of share. And so I'm going to stop talking now. I'll let you introduce yourselves, tell them where you went, and when you're done, just say I'm done, and I'll get out of your way.
All right. Well, Nathan and I just want to share just for a few moments and then to have us pray about a couple things as well. And Nathan and I got to go to Kenya back in August, August 4th through the 18th, something like that. And it was a great trip. For those that don't know, Gene and Melba Morden are missionaries there in the part of Africa, part of Kenya called Turkana. It's a very, very dry, dry place. Back in the 80s or 90s, they one time went almost 2 years without a drop of water. And so that gives you a little bit of a sense of a challenge of life and that kind of thing. And what I want to just share and have Nathan help me with a little bit is just to give you a little bit of an update of kind of where things are at. I had the privilege to go with the team back in 2004. And it was neat to see how in the Morden's first 9 years that the Lord had them on the field, how the church was really built up and it was beginning to, lead itself with mature believers and those kind of things. And so some really neat stuff was happening there in 2004. But I want to talk a little about some of the change, and that's why it's hope and multiplication. So you can see in this first slide that's going to pop up, yes, we were really there and such, and so that was fun. Back in 2004, once again, there were some neat things that had happened, but there were just a handful of wells in 2004. I can't remember if there was one or two test gardens at that point. And so you see in this next picture, there's been a drill team that's been working on drilling wells, and there's dozens and dozens and dozens of wells today that are bringing water to the people. Not just water, but clean water that can help them and such. And obviously the farms have grown. If I remember correctly, I believe there's 50 garden plots now. That are providing food for the people and all of that as well. So back in 2004, with this next slide, I didn't see this in 2004. Here a person just drinking water, something we take for granted. And you notice that they have a container. So this wasn't a one-time thing. They're drinking clean water. And that difference that can make is huge. You see the smiles. You see the relative health and such, and so it's neat to see that. Before, if you didn't have goats, then you didn't eat a whole lot. And so you see in this next slide, you see this boy pounding on these palm nuts. These palm nuts were things that they can gather, and they still do this to some degree today. But what they do is they pound the outside, mix it with some water, make it into a paste, and then you kind of ate that. And, that filled your stomach. But there's not a whole lot of nutrients in palm nuts. All right, and so it kind of filled your stomach, but that was about it. But now with the gardens and things going on there, they're able to have nutritious food more so. And so you see in this next slide, you see them enjoying the produce there of the garden and such. And a kind of a fun picture in the next one, not only are they enjoying, but they're able to work. And this little guy here is pulling some of the water supply lines to the different garden plots or different little areas to be able to water and such as well. And not just, you know, work, but be able to go to school. The schools are booming because kids are healthy enough to be able to go to school and be able to focus on the work and that kind of thing. And that's just going to help their future. And the future is bright. So there's a lot of hope and a positive change that's been going on. So I'm going to have Nathan talk a little bit about one particular thing with the solar cells.
Okay, so on the next slide there, that's a picture of one of their solar cells. Basically what they do is they have these solar panels that they buy, and then they put them, they set them up so then as the day goes by, they can turn the solar panel so then they can get the maximum amount of power out of the solar cell. And then they use that solar cell to power the motor to get water from the well to be able to water their gardens. So then throughout the day, they can be watering their, you know, gardens. And so something kind of cool was that one of the groups of farms actually had their solar cells stolen because they got tricked by some people. And so they weren't able to support their garden. So instead of just asking for money from the Mordens or other groups around there, they got some of their money together that they had saved up, and they bought a new solar cell. And so it's kind of cool that they were able to help start to support themselves a little bit too. So, yeah.
And that's just a huge growth point. And obviously that can't happen everywhere yet, but working towards getting away from just that dependency, you know, which we need to give them the hand up, but then eventually being able to see that they can do those things themselves. And the other thing I just wanted to mention a little bit about is multiplication. You know, Gene is but one person, and it's really, really refreshing to see how God has used him and that his heart is towards this, that he needs to be multiplied. He can't do it all his own. And so you see, you know, hear him instructing and speaking with a young man named Heron, who is one of the leaders on the farm team that Gene has established, and they're doing the day-to-day organization and directing of the farms and what goes on. Gene still is there. He is obviously directing and guiding, but as he said himself, he wants to stay out of it as much as possible, ask questions, let them think, and then, of course, he'll give guidance as needed, but letting them kind of begin to roll more and more on their own. And then in the next picture, we never want to forget just the really beautiful thing that God's doing with the churches there in Turkana. They continue to grow. They continue to spread out. Earlier, you saw a couple guys drilling on a well. Two of those guys had just gotten back from spending 2 years being sent out by one of the local Turkana churches as a church planting crew. And so they had been out, and I believe they had started 4 different churches throughout the Turkana area. And so the church itself is going out and reproducing and those things as well. This is Lapunga, somebody that some of you have heard about. One of the leaders there that continues to work, and it's not just a handful, it's really going farther out. Of the church service, we saw you know, so many people being a part of the service, and that was really refreshing as well to be able to see. And the next slide, just a bigger picture of the man, once again, Heron, who is one of the lead farm guys. He is a Turkana by birth, went to agricultural school, and really knows how to do this. And so he's doing demonstration plots in each of the different gardens to be able to give them a chance to really see what they're trying to learn, which, of course, for all of us is helpful. And the idea of the potential. And when you look at Heron's plot, I can have a plot like Heron someday, you know, that kind of idea with it. Right now, though, I'd also, if we can just go to the next slide, I want to take a few minutes, and if we could just pray. There's a couple things that are obviously right there on the front burner. Just this week, we got another email from the Mordens that there had been more raiding by bandits in the area in Nakor. And they've asked the churches throughout Turkana this morning, 11 hours ago roughly, and they asked the churches that are aware in the United States to be praying about the bandit situation. You know, these are gunmen that come in, steal the goats, terrorize the people, that kind of thing. And the people are afraid. And we know we don't need to be afraid, that God will lead us, but they need an example of that. And so we need to stand with our brothers and sisters and pray for them and protection from the bandits. And we'll do that just in a moment. Also, just that they would learn and apply the farming lessons. We're, you know, Gene and Melba and the farm team are taking people that have absolutely no experience with the idea of farming or gardening and then trying to move it forward. And they're doing a good job, but, you know, there's lessons to be learned and being diligent and all those things. So we want to pray for that. Also, just for the farm team, for the church leaders. And then there's also a new couple, Dennis and Renna Curran, a really, really neat couple that God's going to use in a special way. I can just really tell. But just guiding in that unity and encouragement and fruitful progress. And then finally, for the Mordens themselves, both their family, but also give them insight on how to guide, direct, and empower as well. So if we could do this, if you would just take, we'll just take just a few moments here, and if you would just, you know, grab on to one of those things and pray about that first, and then look back up there, see what jumps out at you again, and let's just go to God. You know, I mean, his example is so clear that we need to do that, and we're gathered together, and so what better thing than to lift these things to him? So I'll give you a moment to pray, and then I'll close in a moment.
Father God, we just come before you right now. Lord, you are God. You are the creator. You are the sustainer. Lord, you are the one that wants relationship with us. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the privilege to lift these things before you. Thank you for the privilege that our brothers and sisters are the Chicana people, and they are meeting together today as well. And Lord, they have a very real need right now. Lord, they have fear. And understandable fear. And Lord, we pray that you would give them strength. Lord, that you would just demonstrate your protection, that you would work in a mighty way. And I pray that coming off of this Sunday of prayer, Lord, that there would be just a real clear change that's going to happen because your people have come before you and have surrendered themselves to you, not of our effort, Lord, but just for what you're going to do. And Lord, we do pray for that protection. Lord, may the people be wise. But Lord, also may they continue to do your work and be able to provide for their families and such as well. We ask for that protection, Lord. And Lord, we pray for unity. We pray for progress of your plan. Lord, thank you for the encouragement that was for Nathan and I to be able to see just your hand at work. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to bless the Mordens and the work there. We love you, Lord. Thank you that you are a big God, not just a God of here in Pasco, but all throughout the world, and that you know, one day when you come back, we will all be with you, all the different tribes and languages and all. And Lord, what a wonderful day that will be. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.